the closer a satirical text is to a certain reality connected with a country or even a canton in Switzerland, the more difficult it is to translate. For instance, one of my best-known texts or stories is a parody on the Bernese dialect called Es Bern Deutsches Geschichtli, which I wrote more than 30 years ago, and it has become very popular. A lot of people forgot who is the author. They think it's a popular piece. And the publisher, Diane Dix, wanted to have that translated and said, couldn't we try to translate that? And I said, no, don't do it. You will fail. If you don't know the original sound of the Bernese dialect, you cannot enjoy what I'm presenting here. So we dropped this. We left that out.
You write from your own personal experiences, which any good satirist must do. And if we can take a look at one of the stories in the collection, and the story's called The Daily Death. And it begins, my grandmother told me once what she thought as a young girl of the death of Jesus Christ. To hang a few hours on the cross, that's nothing, she thought. I have to go to the factory every day. And then you have a story earlier in the collection called The Pet, mm-hmm. which shows the devil inside you, or the devil inside all of us, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they both reveal your feelings towards the church in Switzerland. I'd like to ask you, have recent episodes involving the Catholic Church and the Pope inspired you to write any new stories?
Recently, no, because my skepsis is as old as I am. I wasn't properly astonished about what the actual Pope was uttering, because he was very well known as a very conservative cardinal.
So we can't expect any new stories, such as the story in the collection where the Pope suddenly drops in on a farmer in the Alps in central Switzerland?
I mean, that's a very nice picture of a Pope coming to help a mountain farmer in Switzerland, because he wrote him a letter and said, you said recently in a speech, you are the helping hand of all of us, so I need a helping hand. Can't you come and help me bring in the grass? And then the Pope appears, and he comes, and he helps him, and he leaves again. It's an absurd story. That would be a nice Pope. I would like to have Popes like that, you know.
Railways, Swiss trains figure prominently, and that's, I guess, to be expected from a Swiss satirist in your stories. And railway stations. If we can read this episode, which takes place in a railway station, I don't know if you mention it in the book, but the story is called Destination Salzach. And if you could do us an honor and read us maybe the ending of the story, and if I can set it up, you, I guess, as the author, are in the station waiting to buy your ticket. In front of you is a man from India who's trying to buy a ticket to a place called Salzach.
He writes down the name, because first he says Salzach. He pronounced it quite correctly. The woman selling the ticket says Salzach, and he says no, Salzach. And he's intense. He says Salzach doesn't exist. And then I, from behind, say, oh, hello, Salzach exists. It's in the canton of Solothurn. I come from the canton of Solothurn. And in the meantime, he wrote the name down, and he wrote it wrong. He wrote Salzach. And she says, Salzach doesn't exist, but Salzach exists. So it is one confusion after the other. But now the piece of paper has already been pushed in front of the railway ticket woman, and she types into her computer what he has written down, Salzach. And then she tells him there is no such place as Salzach, only Salzach, as she has found out in the meantime. He pays for his ticket, which is printed using a program that the Swiss railway company purchased from a software firm in India. Then he walks away from the ticket counter and ends an act for three people where each of them was right, yet nobody was satisfied.
What does that say about the Swiss? Let's leave the Indian man out of this. What does that say about the Swiss? You weren't satisfied as the observer who was trying to lend a helping hand, and neither was the ticket seller.
First, it tells that the Swiss like to be right and they hate to be wrong. It's a bit difficult to her to find the way that she really failed, because she gave him a wrong answer. She said, Salzach doesn't exist. So She wants to be right. She hates to be wrong. At the end, she has been wrong, and she turned it so that he has been wrong. And I am the observer, and I want to educate her also and say, no, listen, lady, Selzach exists. I can tell you it exists. It's true. You are wrong. He is right. Also, I like to be right instead of being wrong. And she is wrong. And I would like to say, you are wrong. I am right. And he is right, too. We like to be perfect. That's another Swiss attribute, I would say.